is beginning to rain, 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 to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Well, dear friends, we're going to start a new series today, and I believe it could be one of the more powerful investigations, let's just call it, of God's Word that I've ever produced. I want you to understand that it's a key to recognizing your true identity in Christ Jesus, even to where you're going to be for eternity. You know, you may be headed for a different place than you think. You may be more than happy to stay right here on earth rather than be in heaven. It could be that you love this earth so much, well, that's all you're going to get. We're going to talk about that as we discover the secrets of the two Jerusalems. I have talked to many Christians, and I have found that very few realize that the Bible makes mention of two Jerusalems. A few years ago, you can tell my time of chronology is way off. As you get older, I think everything seems compressed together. Maybe that's the way it is in eternity with God. Many years ago, I should say, men's years, a great bishop of the Anglican Church, Alexander Hislop, wrote a book called The Two Babylons, back in the 19th century, in fact. It has become a classic. He said there's the Babylon of old, of this earth that we know of and you can read about encyclopedias, but there is a mystery Babylon the Great, a code word for that great city of evil that shall exist in the last days and go into perdition, it and its citizens. Two Babylons. Did you know, my dear friends, that there are also two Jerusalems? But unlike Babylon, the first Jerusalem, although it should have been a glorious place, the glorious and holy city, because of the sins of mere human beings, it was turned and exists today as a cesspool of wickedness and corruption. But there is another Jerusalem the Bible calls the New Jerusalem, made without human hands. It is the city of God, and it is a blessed place. We're going to talk about that on this series. Now, I want you to understand something. Paul spoke about the two Jerusalems. I have talked to pastors, to laymen, and they tell me that they've never preached on this subject that you're going to hear in this series we start on today. I talked to a pastor recently, and I asked him, have you ever preached on the two Jerusalems? He said, what two Jerusalems? Do you mean the Jerusalem before Jeremiah and after Jeremiah? I'm talking about earthly Jerusalem and heavenly Jerusalem. Well, he looked at me like I was crazy. I said, are you not aware that in Galatians chapter 4, Paul said there is one Jerusalem, the Jerusalem of this earth that is in bondage to the devil, and there is one Jerusalem that is God's holy city, and it is in heaven, and it is the mother of us all as Christians? He said, the mother of who? I said, no, you have never heard of it. No, I can't say that I have. And he looked at me like I must have I must, maybe I'm reading the Hindu Bhagavad, the Gita, or the Holy Quran of the Muslims. It could have been the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita as far as this pastor was concerned. He had no idea what I was talking about. He only knew of one Jerusalem. That's that earthly city that the Old Testament talks about and the New. And he was looking forward that this very year, he said, to going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. He said, I bet you've been to Jerusalem a lot. I said, you know, the first moment I came to know Jesus Christ, I became a citizen of that place. And you know, the man still didn't know what I was talking about. I said, I'm only joking because I realize you don't know what I'm talking about. He started laughing. I said, but I am a citizen of Jerusalem. And if you believe in Jesus, you are too. Well, he just looked very quizzically to me. I want to read to you very quick what Paul had to say, because it's going to set up this whole series for you to understand. You see, Paul in Galatians chapter 4, and I hope you'll go back and read it for yourself. There's more here that I'm going to talk about today on this program. And in fact, this could change your life. You'll really understand who Israel is, what Israel is all about, what's going on in the Middle East. In fact, what's going on in the world. Listen, Paul said, he mentioned that Abraham had two sons. One was by a bond maid, a slave woman, the other by free woman. He who was of the bond woman, in other words, the child of the bond woman, the seed of the bond woman, was born after the flesh. But he that was born of the free woman was born by promise of God. Paul said these things actually are an allegory. Oh, they did happen. You can read about them in Genesis. Read about Abraham and all. But wait. While you're reading about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that, remember this situation. Abraham's two sons. And it is an allegory. It is an example, a type. It is a true example that has meaning for the rest of the world. And listen, this is in relationship, not just to two sons of Abraham, because Paul said, for these are the two covenants. There's the old covenant given to the Jews, or to Israel, I should say, by God, and the new covenant. The old covenant, its usefulness passing with the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, vanished. Just like an old wineskin. Remember what Jesus said? Can't put new wine in an old wineskin. It vanished. It's no use anymore. The new wine is here, my friends. You better taste of that new wine. Or you could mock God by taking that wine and putting it in the old, cracked, parched, old wineskin, which will soon break apart and all the new wine is spilled out. You'll end up with nothing but a dried piece of old leather. Paul said these things are an allegory. Two sons. Oh, they did exist, but they're also a story, a tale. Once upon a time, there were two sons. And these two sons were like covenants. The one, he said, the one covenant, the one son is from Mount Sinai. It gendereth, that means it leads to bondage. Slavery, enslavement, which is Hagar. Hagar had a son. She was a slave woman. Her son and his covenant leads to slavery. Remember that. That covenant of Hagar's leads to slavery. For this Hagar, says Paul, is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Friends, are you of earthly Jerusalem? If you cleave to earthly Jerusalem, as do the Jews, as do the Israelis, as do Zionist and Judaizer Christians today, then you're part of the old covenant. You're trying to put new wine as a Christian into an old vessel that's going to burst. It leads you to slavery. Because Jerusalem is in bondage to her children. That is, that covenant that proceeds from the son of Hagar, who with Abraham, oh yes, that's Abraham's seed. Oh, well, make no mistake about it, it's his physical seed. Remember what the Jews told Jesus? We're of our father Abraham. We have never been in bondage to anyone. What liars! Even history shows they were in bondage. The Jews were in bondage to Egypt and Pharaoh. They were in bondage, history shows, they were in bondage to Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. But they say, we have never been in bondage to anyone. Liars! We're of Abraham, our father. They crowed, they bragged. But Jesus said, oh yes, you are of the physical lineage of Abraham. Oh, he didn't deny that. Because after all, this is what Paul is saying. The covenant is there. The old covenant was between Hagar and her son. Or I should say, Hagar produced a son, which was the covenant, an allegory. Jerusalem, that now is on this earth, in bondage with her children. And these Jews, just as the Jews of today, the Zionists and the Judaizers in the Christian church, are in bondage. But they say, wait, we have never been in bondage to anyone. Liars. Paul said, not only are you in bondage, but you're in bondage to the devil. But did Paul, am I overstating that fact? In bondage. Maybe he didn't mean the devil, but wait, I think he did. Because Jesus told the Jews, yes, you have as your physical father Abraham. You're of his lineage. But he's not your father. Brag all you want. We came from Abraham. Our lineage is there. Brag all you want of that, said Jesus. But I know who your father is. You're of your father, the devil. He was a liar, Jesus said, speaking of the devil. He was a liar and the father of it. And you, who come from Abraham, but he's not your father, you will do the same works as your true father, which is the devil. Oh yes, Jesus knew. They were in bondage while they lied. They bald-faced lied to him and said, we have never been in bondage to any man. What arrogance. Liars. They were in bondage at that very moment to the Romans. The Roman governor sat in their city. But they cried out, why, we've never been in bondage. We're God's chosen people. Liars. But listen, Paul said something amazing. Verse 26, the very next verse, he says, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Did you know that Paul said to Christians, he said, in Isaac's name ye are called. Some Christians actually took up on the name Isaacson. There's some people, you can open up the Bible, Isaacson. Some Jews, unfortunately, too. Physically, they are incorrect. As an allegory, the Jews are of Hagar. Now, evangelical Christians, the Zioners and the Judaizers have turned this around. They say, well, Hagar, her ancestors would be the Arabs. And Isaac, his ancestors would be the Jews. That's not what Paul said. Paul said that Hagar answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, that is, which is in heaven, is the mother of us all. We who are Christians, we who know God, we who are the people of God, we are who what Peter says is the holy nation of God, we who are the peculiar people, the high priest of God, have as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and in Isaac's name are we called. Isaac, why? Because there was the covenant. Here was the covenant. Abraham and Sarah and Isaac, their son. And this gendereth or leads to freedom, for there is liberty in Christ Jesus, who is the very seed of Abraham with a capital S. For it is written, rejoice thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. But as then he that was born after the flesh, Hagar's children, the Jews, national or physical descendants of Abraham and their associates, the Judaizers, the Zionists around the world. Paul says, but as then, he that was born after the flesh, they're after the flesh, they're of the flesh. Friends, you're of the Spirit, if you know God. But listen to what happens. They persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Even so, said Paul, it is now. You see, the apostles were born after the Spirit. They too were of the lineage of Abraham. And he was their father through the covenant. They were descendants of Sarah and Isaac, the son of Abraham. That was their covenant. And that covenant is Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus is the testator, testifies to, signs that covenant. Oh, it's in writing, all right, friends. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures, verse 30? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Paul and all the other apostles, Peter, James, Matthew, that they came from Abraham's lineage, and Abraham was their father. But the Jews who rejected Jesus, they came from Abraham's lineage, but they had a whole nother covenant. Hagar's covenant. They're in bondage. But because they're bitter and angry and drawn up in their evil nature and their hatred toward Jesus and God, they seek to persecute those who are of the covenant of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. They persecuted the apostles and Jesus then. They will do it today. But listen to their destiny. Cast out the bondwoman and her son, those of the old covenant. Cast them out. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Verse 31, I'll end with this, says, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage. You want to go back into Judaism? You want to go back into the Old Testament things? You want to go back and become a Jew? You want to exalt the Jews as God's chosen? Okay, if you wish to be engendered toward bondage, if you want to have the yoke of slavery tied around your neck, if you want to forfeit the Spirit of God and instead have Satan as your father, so that you will become a liar just like he is the liar and the father of it, and he will be your father and you will be his son. There are two covenants. One has vanished. Oh, Christians say, no, Tex, you don't understand. The covenant that God made with the Jews will never go away. What are you talking about? That covenant was fulfilled. God keeps his promise. He told them, you are heirs to the promise. And what did he do? What was the promise? Who was the promise? Jesus Christ was the promise. And there's heavenly Jerusalem awaiting. Every Jew, every Gentile who believes in Jesus, the seed of God, Jesus, has as their father faithful Abraham. And they too will be with Abraham in heavenly Jerusalem forever. It's simple as that. You want the old covenant? You want to put the new wine in the new vessel? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Do you want to be in the call in the name of Isaac? Or do you want to go back into slavery, in bondage, have a yoke, and be void of the Spirit of God? That's the question, friends. That's the question for you today. Now, for me, I choose the way of Isaac. I choose the new covenant of Jesus Christ. It was a covenant that God fulfilled. And once he fulfilled that covenant, well, that was it. So, you know, you are right, you out there who claim that God made an eternal covenant. Of course, because Jesus is eternal. And he promised them the deliverer of Zion would come. And he sure did. The deliverer of Zion has delivered the Jews, and many don't even know it. They've been delivered. And he shall forgive their sins, the Old Testament said. All the heirs of the promise, he shall forgive their sins. But the Jews of Jesus' era and even today forfeit. Being of the lineage of Abraham in the physical, they said, we reject the spiritual. We will have nothing to do with a spiritual king named Jesus. We choose to worship Caesar. They told Pilate then, we have no God but Caesar. And today they still say that. We will not have this man Jesus to rule over us. So they will have Caesar. But as for Christians, listen to the hope. Listen to the hope here. Chapter 21 of Revelation. Oh, here's how it ends up for Christians. It says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne. He that sat upon. Who do you think that is, friends? What is his name? I know. Do you? And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. Friends, when Jesus died on the cross, he declared, it is finished. That was the Old Testament fulfilled, and God kept his promise to the very letter. Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for the sins of the whole world, so that all who believed in him become one with Abraham. We are one with Jesus Christ. We are of the seed, for Christ Jesus is the very seed of Abraham. and He is our Father, and God is our Father, and we worship the one that sits on the throne, and we are citizens of the New Jerusalem, praise God forevermore. But those of the bondwoman, those who refuse Jesus, those who say, I believe only in earthly Jerusalem, I believe in the kingdom of Israel on earth, but I don't believe in that heavenly place, they have Caesar as their king and the devil as their father. This is part one of the two Jerusalems, friends. And how powerful it is to know that there is a new heaven and a new earth coming. Oh, the environmentalists, they're working desperately to save Mother Earth. They don't know there's a new earth and a new heaven coming. And the Zionists and the Judaizers are working desperately to set up the kingdom of Israel on planet Earth. They too don't know there's a new earth coming, a new heaven. They know nothing about heavenly New Jerusalem. And God doesn't need their help to build it. He doesn't need their help. It's already built. And Jesus called it the kingdom of God. And here's some good news for you. If you believe in Jesus Christ, then that hope of the promise is within you. Christ within you, said Paul. The hope of glory. This is Pastor Tex Bars of Bible Home Church. Until next week, may God richly bless you.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Bars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.